is Fesco and Dusty.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
The text line is on it on a Friday, so props to all of you. Congratulations. They asked from the 913, you guys now 96-point Jaden Daniels.
It's good. We're now 96.4 The Fan to honor Jaden. Yep.
You have to do now a high four, or now it is the best three of Daniels.
96.4 The Fan.
We're now joined by Josh Klingler, the sideline reporter of the Kansas City Chiefs. Kling, did you have a good practice today with a 10-10-10?
Yeah, I still don't know what that means, nor do I care.
Do you want to know?
Think it's just, no, not really.
Yeah,
not really.
He tried to tell me, and I said, no.
Nah, no. Bob and I have carried on this myth that, you know, all the beat reporters always care when it's a 10-10-10 practice. And I'm like, I don't. It's just, what time's it over?
Yeah.
And am I going to see a little bit of 11-on-11? That's all I really care about.
10-10-10.
10-10-10. You know, the interesting note Dusty just discovered, and I'm not kidding. I was stunned by that. It was invented by Andy Reid.
Oh, that sounds okay. All right.
Hey, what go,
I mean,
man.
I'm sure they do it a lot, and I'm sure it's effective, and it's one of the practices they have, but as long as they're getting their work done, that's all that I need to know.
Kling, I'm sure you miss the text line dearly. And I'm going to be the text line for you. It's 10-10-10, idiot. It's 10 offensive plays, 10 defensive plays, and 10 minutes of special teams work. Players wear helmets and shorts instead of full pads to rest their bodies while staying sharp mentally.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, that guy's ready for a game.
that guy needs a game that counts now.
That guy's all beside himself. These people don't know what a 10-10-10 practice is.
So other than the... you know, the news that broke yesterday that Arby's is only allowing a 4-for-4. Kling, what do you think so far of this Kansas City Chiefs team? Do they still have that target?
You know, I still think there's a lot of work in progress, but, you know, I think they've added some nice pieces. I think certainly defensively they're kind of intriguing with a lot of unknowns, but a lot of kind of youth inserted into the veteran core there. I think they've made some nice additions, but we'll have to see when, you know, games are for real. You know, Patrick's gonna be amazing because he's had a great camp. I know I don't need to see him at all in the preseason. He's taken a ton of reps during camp, and he has been just terrific. Like, you can't even tell that he's injured. Granted, he's not taking a hit, but the arm's there, the command is there, give me the next play look is there. He's been a lot of fun to watch, even though you're kind of like, okay, slow down. I don't know what the status is. That's been cool to see. And then everybody's obviously raving about Kenneth Walker. Even Mahomes raving about Kenneth Walker, I thought was kind of what stood out to me, because he was asked about what's going to be different for this offense this year and what excites you. And he said number 9 with a big smile on his face. And I thought, well, okay, he's basically in the boat that everybody else was, where they just didn't have enough in the run game to support what they're going to do. And they think that Kenneth Walker can do a lot for them in this offense. So I think that that's probably the most exciting aspect of the offensive side of things, is Mahomes' health and appearance of, you know, a guy that looks like he's very, very intent on playing opening day, and then the addition of Kenneth Walker and what that can mean to this offense.
You know, Kling, I made the comparison earlier that the K-9 addition is very reminiscent to me of adding Tyron and the right player at the right time for a team that needed him. Like, we've talked over the years about how perfect the Tyron Matthew addition was. I kind of feel like we're trending that way with Kenneth Walker.
I mean, I certainly hope so. You know, I still think it takes some adjustments on the offensive side of things to make sure that they take advantage of a lot of Kenneth Walker, right? And they have to have the confidence in him that he's going to do a bunch of things too, or you don't go to the well as much. I think we've seen that enough with this offense that if you're not successful in the run game, it tends to be kind of shooed away. So I think a lot of it is on him to have an impact, I think, right away early on in the season so that they know that they can continue to go to him. And then, then we'll see what it opens up for the rest of the offense. But I think, you know, they're really talking about it. They really think he's got a terrific skill set, catch the ball, obviously can break some runs. And I think that'll go a long way in determining what the identity of this offense will be eventually.
Clingy sat in the seat that I currently sit in for many years asking the Chiefs to run the ball. Is it fine? Here we are. Look at us. Who'd thought? Not me. So do you believe that your wish will finally come true?
I mean, I think so. I think that they, you know, I've heard enough about the skill set they think he has, that he can be a different type of counterpunch. I certainly think if you're looking to take a little bit of, I'm playing under the assumption that Patrick's starting on opening day, right? So if you want to take a little bit of the pressure off of him as well to kind of, as much as you can, ease him back into things, I think it would be a smart investment as well to hand the ball off and work the offense a little bit more through the run game first. And then I think also, doesn't it, at least on paper, look like it fits this team a little bit better?
Yeah.
I still think there's plenty of unknowns at wide receiver, or I should say plenty of guys that need to prove it at wide receiver and pass catchers that you know, it would be smart, I would think, to kind of begin the offense on the season with a little more heavy dose of number nine, and then kind of work everybody in from there. So, it'll be interesting to see how this offense ultimately ends up skewed, because yes, they're going to throw the ball, right?
Yep.
I'm not under the assumption that it's going to be a 60-40 run game ever. Okay. And not that I necessarily need to see that when you have Patrick Mahomes, but I think we can all see that last year, the balance was really, really glaring and the lack of it. So if they can get back to a little more of a balanced attack, keep people on their toes a little bit, run that screen game, because I think, that's something the offensive linemen have come to life with during camp as well. You can't really see if it worked much, you know, in these types of things. But, you know, if they get back to a little more of the screen game, Walker seems to fit that mode, and so does this offensive line.
Where do you rank this offensive line right now? Not rank, but like, where, how do you feel about this offensive line? Are you good and ready to go with these guys?
Well, I mean, what's the deal exactly with Trey?
Yeah.
You know, I they said it's not a big deal.
Right.
But when you see a specialist for a hip, I go, and then, you know, you plugged a rookie in right away at right tackle, and then had to move him to the Trey Smith guard spot. So, you know, a little bit unsettled. And then, you know, Jalen Moore, I you got him because you thought he could be a starter, and you paid him like a high price kind of backup or emergency plan last year. So you need him to be what you thought he was when you were paying him the money. And then if you get Trey Smith back and healthy, I feel pretty good about this offensive line. If Trey Smith's out and you're having a rookie guard and Jalen Moore out on the right, I don't know. I feel like that's still a little bit unproven as well. So it remains to be seen, but I think the big key there is Trey Smith.
So Kling, I am interested in this. It has nothing, well, I guess it has a little bit of something to do with the game. So you obviously do sideline reporting. Yesterday, I don't know if you're watching the videos of Range Bait, and we had the discussion earlier, do you want the extreme heat or the extreme cold? Which one do you like more? Is, in your opinion, Saturday's game on that field is going to be hot, man. It's going to be probably 100+. Are you more into doing the games on the sideline when it's freezing cold or when it's going to be hot like it is on Saturday?
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how to not be a drenched mess by the time that thing ends.
You will be.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what do I have? What are the clothes that'll try to keep me the coolest? So I guess it's probably the cold days, because I mean that Dolphins game, that Dolphins playoff game, I was locked in. I was in one of the better headspaces I've ever been in, because everybody knew it was gonna be so stinking cold. People were probably gonna lose, digits, and I was like, nope, I'm gonna be warm. I'm gonna have my layers. I'm gonna be great. And And, you know, I could look back now and go, wasn't that bad,
yeah.
Even though it was, like, super cold. I don't think you could do anything to avoid, aside from being in the shade somehow, but it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so we're just going to cook on Saturday. It's going to be gross.
Could you imagine if you're on the sideline in the Borat swimsuit doing in-game interviews?
Do that, please. Just please do that. Just go down there and wear that and just walk around the field. I like. Yeah. just do it as Borat, I mean. It'd be hysterical. So, honest to God, though, Josh, when you think about this, the game on Saturday is probably going to be close to 100 degrees warmer than it was on the field for that Dolphins game.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just insane. And then we were laughing yesterday amongst kind of the media, like, LA's coming to town on Saturday and going, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, we're in LA all the time. This is impressive.
Yeah, it's stupid. So, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like, who scheduled the 3 o'clock game in August?
Yeah, that sounds like a mess. But it's gonna be really, really hot, and it's certainly a test because, you know, you're not playing everybody. So there's going to be a lot of guys that are trying to make this team that are going to be probably super gassed because you're kind of throwing them out there as a test, right? Because you're not going to play a lot of people. I thought it was really telling early in the week when Andy Reid was asked about, you know, playing the Rams twice because he played them again in the regular season. And, you know, if that had any kind of impact, and he kind of looked and he said, well, they're not going to play anybody either. And so I thought, well, okay, the numbers for each squad are going to be kind of low. And so there's going to be some tired guys out there that are, again, these are the ones trying to probably battle and make the team. So they're going to have a lot to prove in some really, really trying conditions.
50 disc changer you always want.
Yeah. Excuse me, 50 what?
50 discs.
Yes. Yeah. Just discs. Throwing it back old school. Kling, we want to know if you still got it. Can you tease us for our next segment? We're talking about Dan Orlovsky's QB rankings on the other side.
Find out why one analyst thinks Patrick Mahomes is the 10th best quarterback in the league. I don't know. What number is he? It's probably something like that, right?
It's like not rated is what it is. But Kling, we
what?
Appre-
I, they, what?
That, hey.
Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen.
You think you're pissed.
I've done a fabulous job of tuning him out, but he's not even – wait a minute. 15's not ranked?
Well, in certain categories, decision-making, he's not ranked.
As one of the top.
But you know,
no. So
yeah, no. you got out at the right time.
yeah. All right,
Kling, we appreciate it. Hey, stay hydrated down there, seriously. And then we'll talk
Bring
to you.
Bring a cold towel and a bottle of water,
and a mister.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't need a microphone. I just need a spritzer.
There you go, and maybe a cocktail. Kling, we love you, man. We'll talk to you later this season.
All right, thanks,
guys. Don't pass out because they'll just leave you there.
Speaking of which, you thought Kling said what? Wait till you see how pissed off Mac Morey can get on the other side before he gets into one word, because he's got many on Dan Orlovsky here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Jayden Caney, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Alrighty, I've been ready for this since yesterday. We teased the hell out of this because Dan Orlovsky had his, you know, his quarterback tier rankings. And obviously the first thing I thought of was Mac Morey. The guy's passionate about football. He's, you know, he knows a little bit more than the two guys in here because he gets a little bit more, you know, dives a little bit more into it. Dan Orlovsky... I would love to have a podcast with Mac just asking questions about where he comes up with these.
That.
Right?
My favorite part of this whole thing is when Spectre walks in and goes, I agree with Dan Orlovsky, and then Mac just
rage bait. Just rage bait.
There was a time where Spectre actually sat me down and goes, I can't handle your trolling anymore.
Who said that to who?
Steven said that to me years
ago.
He goes, like when he was my producer, right? Ask you should ask Kling, right?
That's great.
And yeah, because everything, you know who I am, right? Yeah. And so I can't tell when you're serious. Enough's enough with. And now he's just picked up the ball and ran with it because he's got
it.
You.
He's doing
See,
it.
See, this is how it works, right? The older guy has fun with the younger brother, then the younger brother gets a younger brother, and now he picks on the younger brother. So there you are, Mac. So
this is who I am in every friend group, by the way. This is just the way this works for me.
He's going to push your buttons, and he's going to try to tweak you, and he's going to try to get you going, and I'm here for every minute of it.
So Orlovsky ranks all these on arm strength, ball placement, mechanics, decision-making, pocket presence, second reaction, and rushing ability. Arm strength, Patrick Mahomes comes in at fifth.
Fifth.
Ball placement, Patrick Mahomes, not mentioned.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Okay. Yeah, it's just not there. Mechanics, Patrick Mahomes, not mentioned.
I don't hate that one.
Decision making.
Really?
He's all over. He's an improviser, man. Like, he's not your standard mechanical quarterback like a Peyton Manning or somebody like that.
Yeah, so Daniel Jones is third.
And that doesn't mean but mechanics doesn't mean you're good, though. I mean, like I thought last night, honestly, watching a couple of plays, like, I looked at Fernando Mendoza. I'm like, he's got pretty good mechanics and footwork out. That doesn't mean you're a good quarterback.
Decision making. Patrick Mahomes is ninth. Number one, Josh Allen.
That fumble he had in Denver didn't count?
Mm-mm. Pocket presence, Mahomes not mentioned.
Well, he never does stay in the pocket.
Second reaction ability, yeah. Patrick Mahomes is third. Josh Allen, number one. Rushing ability, Patrick Mahomes is seventh.
Now that's bad.
That's the list of everything. Decision-making with the football, Patrick Mahomes being ninth. That's alarming to me.
Yeah, I don't. I need him to define some of these things for me and here how he's ranking.
Yeah, last year I put Allen at number two this list and said that his decision making improved more than any other NFL quarterback improved in any trait. Well, he's moving up again. He makes good decisions both in and out of structure. He threw 10 interceptions and lost 3 fumbles last season, but his tape shows an ability to read the defense and avoid getting baited into trouble.
He does explain how he does this in the beginning part. If you read it, he says these lists are based on current performance and expectations for the 26th season. Clearly stated.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
But there's no real...
No, I need definitions of what is pocket presence.
I'm joking
what are mechanics?
When I say that, because I was looking for how did you come up with these?
What are these?
Is it just a list you made up? Is it a list that you thought... I'm sure he put a lot of thought into it, right?
Course.
We know who Dan Orlovsky is.
Yeah.
He's an overthinker. He really is. I mean, so he put a lot of thought and effort into it. And he does say at the beginning, I included only starters, and this is how I would rank the QB group at this moment. So I'm guessing he's basing it off a lot of what he saw last year. And we all know it wasn't the best year for Patrick Mahomes last year. And I'm actually kind of glad that he doesn't pop on a lot of these because it's just more fuel for that Patrick Mahomes fire. And so I'm actually loving now the kind of, kicking Patrick Mahomes kind of when he's down, because there's a lot of people doing it. We've seen people kind of move on to Josh Allen now. He's the new hot girl in town, right? So everybody's kind of going over to Josh Allen. I think it's going to be a huge year for Patrick Mahomes because everybody is doubting him. But I also think this is one of his most important years from a perception standpoint, because after the 2018 season, everybody said, defense is going to have a whole offseason. They're going to adjust to Patrick Mahomes. And he came out and had one of the best years anybody's ever had in 2019. And so I kind of feel like we're back to that again, where Patrick Mahomes now has an opportunity to go out there and kind of prove everybody wrong and have that type of performance. I think it's the most important year that he's had as a quarterback since that second year that he was a starter in the NFL.
I agree. The national media has now made it seem like he has a bunch to prove.
Yeah.
And so he's now got to go out there and do it. We know what will happen. The one that makes me the most mad is the pocket presence, honestly, because you can define pocket presence, quarterback's ability to sense, anticipate, and react to oncoming defensive pressure while keeping their eyes focused downfield.
No, he does pretty good at that.
He does incredible. Yeah. Pretty good. He's one of the best I've ever
facetious.
Seen.
Not according to Orlovsky.
Not in the top 10, and he mentions Herbert and Prescott were admittedly snubs from this list a year ago. I couldn't let that happen again. This year, it'll probably be Patrick Mahomes. He admits it as a snub, but again, if you're top 5 in the league in that, and again, a bad season, an injury, whatever it may be. And I thought his pocket presence was great last year because it had to be. He mentions his scrambling ability, the most 10-yard scrambles, the ability to get out of the pocket, his elite ability. To me, that has to do with pocket presence. When you know when to flee, that's because you have a good presence in the pocket. You talk about internal clock, the ability to sense pressure. Patrick Mahomes is the best in the league at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand that. And also decision-making, having Josh Allen number one, when we saw what happened in the playoffs last season with the decision-making, It's crazy.
Not good. For me, though, with Patrick Mahomes, fine. You know, this list does not make me as upset as that nitwit last week, that dimwit who said that Patrick Mahomes wasn't the quarterback of the decade. Like, that's more egregious than what Dan Orlovsky's putting out. Because, look, if you just watched the games last year and didn't know anything that was going on, you could say, yeah, it wasn't a great year for Patrick Mahomes. The injury happened, all that kind of stuff. So people are going to doubt him. And I love the fact that people are doubting him. And I love the fact that people are doubting this team, because that really does drive them. I know it sounds like Harry High School and all that kind of stuff, but for whatever reason, this kind of doubt is such big motivation for Patrick Mahomes.
I think there's also a reason why, you know, us as fans begin to not like athletes, and it may not be anything the athlete does.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're 100% right, Dustin.
Like, when you look at what Jaden Daniels is doing, that gives merit to be like, you know what, I don't really like this guy. He's kind of, you know, being egotistical in the situation. None of this really matters. Like, you know, if, you know, you go back, if I were to go back to UCM and they're like, yeah, we're going to change the name of the radio program to David Jones and radio and whatever. Not that it's named after me. I'm just giving that an example. But again, Nick Wright quoted saying there's 7 traits that Dan Orlovsky ranks, that he ranked Mahomes and Allen. Orlovsky is saying that there is nothing in football that Patrick Mahomes is better at than Josh Allen. There's nothing, not a single thing. He's worse than him at everything.
Yeah.
And the quote ended with laughter. Arm strength, Mahomes is 5th, Allen is 1st. This is all according to Dan Orlovsky. Ball placement, Mahomes is not ranked. Josh Allen's ranked 7th. Mechanics, not ranked. Patrick Mahomes, 9th for Josh Allen. Decision-making with the football, 9th for Patrick Mahomes, 1st for Josh Allen. Pocket presence, we've already gone over that. Neither one are ranked. Second reaction ability, Mahomes is 3rd. Allen is 1st. Rushing ability, Mahomes is 7th. Josh Allen is 2nd. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's the one. But this is why when you see people that, you know, are in love with their team, and these people like Orlovsky come out with these lists, and there's all this stuff out there that we have all seen with our own eyes, to think to ourselves, ball placement. I mean, did we not watch the Tyquan Thornton play last year where he missed him on one shot and then went right back to him and put it right over his shoulder for a touchdown? And that was when Thornton held up the finger like, I got it.
But in fairness, though, to that list, a lot of people were complaining about Patrick Mahomes' accuracy last year. We talked a lot about it on the show throughout the season last year, people complaining about, you know, where his accuracy was, and it didn't look like it was the same. And we said, well, maybe it's the line and the receivers, and people go, no, it just doesn't look the same. He doesn't have the same touch. So in fairness to that, there was a lot of complaining from Chiefs fans last year as well about Patrick Mahomes and that ball placement. And we'll see that get better this year, too, as the team improves, as the scheme improves, as Andy Reid improves with the play calling and the decision making, and Eric Bieniemy starts holding people accountable out there on defense, everything will improve and everything will get better, because everything has to get better. You can't have, you know, what you did last year. But in fairness, people were complaining about the ball placement of Patrick Mahomes last year and wondering, oh my God, is Patrick Mahomes lost it, or was it Tyreek Hill that gave him all that opportunity? So again, it's a big year for Patrick Mahomes from a perception standpoint. It doesn't need to do it for me. I don't need to see Patrick Mahomes go out there and prove everybody wrong, but that's how he operates. And because that's the way he operates, it's great for fans like us. We get to watch Patrick Mahomes go scorched earth this year.
That is the one thing that probably waned the most was the accuracy. But again, if you go from 67% completion percentage for 3 years, 66 for the last three before that, and then you get down to 62.7, which is about league average, you drop 4-5% to league average, whereas he's got Caleb Williams in there, as far as accuracy is concerned, hasn't completed 60% of his passes as a pro yet. So I don't know how
he did it. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you can poke holes in all of this. Yeah.
I want to be defined.
I'd like to see somebody rank Dan Orlovsky, because his pocket presence, what's his end zone presence?
Yeah, exactly.
Guy ran out of the back of the end zone. Has anybody done that since?
Yes, I think there. No, I feel like there's been one person.
Will Levis maybe?
Yeah, Will Levis did it. Yeah,
I think
Will Levis did it.
He did,
but wasn't that preseason?
Maybe it was. I can't remember.
As the Jaden Daniels jokes can continue throughout the day, in honor of Jaden Daniels, I'm going to watch reruns of Hawaii 4-0. From 785, I'm actually a police officer, and people are already referring to us as the 4-0. So keep them coming. It's one word time.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. 1, 2, 3.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
1, 2, 3.
Oatmeal raisin.
We got a good one from at MDJohnston22 on X. For the three of us, not sure why you guys are ripping Jaden Daniels. Not every day that an athlete achieves such an accomplishment. It's him on the $5 bill now.
Sorry, Abe.
It's never going to end.
Fantastic. I love it. Great Photoshop, too, where awesome. He just put his Jaden Daniels face over half of Abe Lincoln's head.
That's so good.
You know. You brought gasoline to a bonfire.
You really did.
One word on a Friday brought to you by the Sand Trap. It's a great spot. Delicious food, cold drinks, TVs everywhere to watch your favorite sports teams. It's located in the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC. And Friday at the Sand Trap, you can get the KC Dilla. Your choice of a chicken or beef, grilled peppers, red onion, shredded cheese on a toasted flour tortilla served with sour cream and salsa for $13. Or you can go fancy and get a $16 10-ounce steak, baked potato, and green beans. It's hot. You don't want to grill. You don't want to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Let Marge do it for you at Sand Trap. $7 Red Bull vodkas and $2 glasses of wine. All of that on a Friday at the Sand Trap. Mac!
We'll start where we just were. Jaden Daniels. One word on this Jaden Daniels saga. Of course, if you have been under a rock, he's suing LSU for someone wearing his number, someone on defense wearing the number 5 this year.
It just sounds so effing ridiculous when you just said it.
Yeah, it's actually insane.
Like the way you read it, you're like, it's like you saw it for the first time. You're like, wait, he's suing?
Suing him. Suing the university. He thought no one would wear his number. One word.
5.
Yeah. Yep.
I've got 4 on it.
Yeah.
This isn't the money. I got 4 on it. Something LSU. Josh Allen's ball placement is Dan Orlovsky's chin. Okay, that's a hard one from the text line.
Damn.
From the top rope. Somebody says, about to head to the garage. Give me a high 4, Dust Man. At least it's not 520, am I right? One word on it, mistake. I'll just leave it at that. Mistake.
Yep. Dumbass. I mean, seriously, what Dumas. A dumbass. It's Dumas. Yeah. I mean, what a moron wrapped in an idiot covered with a dumbass. Like, seriously, dude.
Subway is now changing their marketing scheme. It's the Jaden Daniels footlong now. Text line, you win. Like,
just keep them coming all morning,
please.
We said
today, we'll listen to the experts. This is your day, text line.
Yeah, this is the text line day.
You get to take trashing everyone that does this show for a little bit, which you can return on Monday. And now you can lean into this. So text line, it is your day. Friday text line. Lou Bega had to change his song for Mambo number 4.
That's a good one. I like that. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I had to change my area code to 784. My son just turned 5 in May, and he's asked me why he has to go back to 4. It doesn't end. I mean, I could do this all day.
I saw one that said Cinco de Jaden has replaced Cinco de Mayo now. Yeah.
Yes, I love that one. I love this too. Steve Smith talking about Cyrus Allen.
Cyrus Allen is going to be eventually, in my humble opinion, their number one wide receiver.
Woo!
Because here's why. Their quarterback has been wanting a guy like Cyrus Allen, who has the ability to run in the intermediate. Xavier Worthy's right here. Rashid Rice is right here. And they got somebody in the middle that they need, and that's Cyrus Allen.
Where was he talking? Was that NFL Network?
That's his podcast.
Him and your favorite guy, James Palmer, have the podcast together.
Oh, okay. Did he steal any of Steve Smith's stuff before he went on the air? But anyway, I digress. One word on that is exciting. And the reason I say that is because he has 5th round draft pick. There's no question about it. But if he emerges as your number one wide receiver, it doesn't matter what round he was drafted in, but we are going to celebrate a 5th round draft pick becoming a number one wide receiver. That's how you build a team right there. And that's not saying you're going to have Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy take steps backwards or anything like that. There's a good chance, and Dusty and I were talking about this guy before the show a little bit, Albert Pujols, as he was on the game last night, 10th round draft pick. Sometimes guys just get missed, and Cyrus Allen may be that guy that everybody just, for whatever reason, missed on. And then he gets put into a good system, too.
Hype is what I would say. I mean, what's the downfall if it does happen? Right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, there is none.
Like, what if he is a number one? Now, the question is, it's kind of vague, right? That'd be the other one where vague. He says eventually he will be the number one. Is that this year? You would hope not. I don't know if that's the right way to say that. I mean, maybe, I don't know.
I love it. I mean, if he at the end of the year emerges as the number one wide receiver on a fifth-round draft pick salary, yeah, yeah.
We saw Rashee Rice become the number one once they started playing him.
Yeah, and right
that,
away.
And that playoff run, he was the number one.
Yep.
Yeah, by week six, I think he is the number two for sure on this team.
You know, after the bye, coming out of the bye, he's your number
he's
two.
He's number two wide receiver. Yep.
I don't mind that.
Can he be the number two going into the bye?
Maybe. That's up to Andy Reid.
I know the bye is a nice, like, four games, and we get the break, and we can talk about things, but could this guy emerge after week two? We go, oh, my God. You know, like, is it too early at that point in time to crown somebody if they have eight good quarters of football?
I mean, where were you at with Kareem Hunt after one game?
Yeah, I was right there, man.
Once Xavier Worthy had eight good quarters of football in a row in his career. It hasn't happened. Football's back.
Woo! This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Pats.
Who was going down, did he say?
Drake May.
Drake May. 13-13 tie, ladies and gentlemen. The best moment of that game was Vrabel throwing the flag.
Yeah, the memes from that were good, too.
Oh, I mean, I'm not even going to say them on the air what they were, but you know where they go with that.
Yep.
The underwear?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yep.
Man.
I like underwear.
Remix is what one word is. That's a remix of a song that he has continued to use as the Colts theme song.
Good for him.
Good for you. You got notoriety. You're doing your thing. You love the Colts. Had a good run last year until it ended.
Yep.
And it ended hard in Indianapolis.
Yes. Yeah. You lose your quarterback and gas out your running back, and you got a wide receiver that quit on you. Yeah. I don't know if he quit on you, but like Michael Pittman won it out.
Yeah, he got some new sound equipment, a little more auto-tune this year.
Nice.
These NBA teams have the most and fewest nationally televised games. You got 34, the most you can have nationally televised games for the Knicks, the Spurs, Sixers, and the Lakers. And then two for the Grizzlies, Bucks, Pelicans, Kings, and
how
Nets.
Many?
Two.
The Nets got two?
Yeah, why? I think you're going to get
probably playing Philadelphia.
Yeah, probably playing one of those teams.
That's what it is.
That's the Knicks. I mean, God.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're riding coattails. My one word is smart.
Put
your best product available all the time. Why do you think the Chiefs always had six games on prime time? Yeah, it's Mahomes. It's Kelsey. Yeah. It's the Chiefs. You may hate it. The NFL loves it because it's money.
Yeah, I mean, like it draws. And so here's the thing: if you don't like, and I'm just speaking to the collective population, like if you don't like something and you're mad that it's always on, don't watch. And eventually, it will get taken off because you're not watching. But that's not going to happen in sports. You give people what they want, man. They want winners. The New York Knicks are going to be a story for the entire NBA season. Philly is obviously going to be a huge story. The Lakers are going to be one of the more interesting stories in the NBA this year because that team just sold now, and you know who knows what's going on out there in LA. That's bizarre.
Yeah,
so
bad news.
I mean, the Dodger thing may get ugly as well too. He's going to have to probably sell the Dodgers, and if he sells the Dodgers, then that means Ohtani becomes a free agent again. Now, Ohtani did say he probably won't leave the Dodgers if the team gets sold and he can opt out of that deal. But could you imagine another free agent courting of Shohei Ohtani? He's probably smart not to opt out because there's going to be a work stoppage. He ain't going to make that money anywhere else either. So he's got to stay in L.A. And but, man, it's wild out there.
Portland City Council approved $120 million in city funding towards a renovation of the Moda Center. That's Tom Dunn and Portland Trailblazers owner, combined with $466 million from the county and state. They now have over $580 million in public money.
Yeah, and the owner, that guy can, you know, take a short flight out of town. That guy goes, I'm not paying for a thing. Screw you, pal. Every owner kicks in something.
Cheap.
I mean, screw that guy.
Cheap.
That guy sounds terrible, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that town loves their basketball team. I've been to Portland, and they're pretty proud of the Portland Trail Blazers.
All they got, man. I would hate to see them lose that team, right? I mean, that's all they have up
there. Yeah, I agree. Unless it comes to Kansas City, then I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah,
but again, with Kansas City, are we going to ask our citizens to put up $500 million to renovate a 20-year-old arena right now? Because
I'll pitch in what I got.
It needs to be renovated.
Yeah. Well, somebody says on the text line, Roman numeral V will now be replaced by a J and a D. and Mac, you are not accurate. Cyrus Allen was not a fifth-round pick. He was a fourth-round pick. You can thank Jaden Daniels for that one.
And one more.
Dolly Parton has to redo her song 9 to 5. It's now 9 to 4 because of Jaden Daniels.
I did see somebody say the workday has now been cut from 9 to 5 to 9 to 4 to honor Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. You guys rule. And so does the Sand Trap. It's a great spot. There's delicious food, cold drinks, TVs everywhere to watch your favorite sports teams. It's located at the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC. Take your fantasy football draft up there. If you did it on a Friday like today, you get all the specials that come with it. It is today the KC Dilla, your choice of chicken or beef, grilled peppers, red onions, shredded cheese on a toasted flour tortilla served with sour cream and salsa. It's $13, or you can partake in a $16 10-ounce steak, baked potato, and green beans, $7 vodka Red Bulls, and $2 off glasses of wine. Coming up next, cap and a floor in the Major League Baseball world. It's not going to get us going anywhere, I believe. Or maybe. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Kansas City, it's Omar Norman Lott. You're listening to Fesco and Dusky on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Line, you were correct. My golf handicap has now gone way down because there's no longer allowed to have par fives on golf courses.
That's right.
Somebody says, this new Jackson 4 album sucks. I mean,
that's good. That's really good.
Hold out your hand and let the birds come and eat.
That's really good. Well done. The Jackson 4.
This show's coming in real staticky ever since I switched over to 96.4, the Jaden.
It just doesn't get old, man. Do they call the five now out in California the Daniels?
Well, Chris Webber and Jalen Rose have some issues because they're no longer called the Fab Five.
That's
the
right.
Fab Nothing.
The Fab Nothing. Now we got KCTV what? KCTV Daniels?
Yep.
What a heel, man. He's not going to live this down. I mean, think about the other dudes in the locker room, too. Like, his guys, his teammates, however you want to phrase it, probably coming up to him and going, he's probably getting the most static of anybody that in years for this. Like, the other guys are looking at him like, you're a joke.
Somebody says, from the 785, you got to change your number, by the way. They said, cracks a beer. It's 4 o'clock somewhere.
Oh, man. It's good, yeah. Like it. Anyway. Anything that makes fun of that guy for being so stupid. He deserves everything he's getting, man. And people go, oh, it's the people around him. You hired the people around you. You've let your mom have this kind of role in your life. Eventually, you have to be an adult. I mean, it does go back, though, to like, what did they say? Like 50% of 30-year-olds and people at 30 or under are still living with their parents. I mean, that's a massive number. And so maybe kids aren't just growing up at this point in time. Like, has Jaden Daniels truly matured to get to a level where he is an adult? Has he been allowed to go out there and be an adult and make his own decisions and not have people constantly standing there and making these decisions for him? Because that's where I would be if I was Jaden Daniels. Like, come on, guys, if they did make this decision, we can't do this. He's got to be the gatekeeper on all of this.
Live with your parents as long as you can.
Yeah, you save your money. Yeah.
Ride that wave.
But so that's what I'm getting at. I'm like, are people just not taking responsibility anymore for themselves? Because this is
that's
a responsibility
man take, I would say. But
okay,
yeah.
but this is a responsibility take here. I mean, you've got to be responsible for your life.
Totally. Yeah,
you can't let people do this to you.
I think you can always take advice. Whether you move forward with all of it is the other thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I said yesterday, like there were times in my life when I first started doing radio and, you know, there'd be times my mom would be like, hey, I don't really know like why you're talking, mom. So here's the deal. This is what is a topic and this is how we do the topic. Okay, fine. You don't have to get mad about it. You don't have to get mad. I'm just letting you know, this is, you know, where we're at in life right now. Yeah, somebody says, great rock band, just heard him on the radio, Four Finger Death Punch.
They play Rock Fest every year.
So MLB proposes, here we go. Owners proposed $245.3 million salary cap and a $171.2 million payroll floor that could start in 2027. This comes per Jesse Rogers of ESPN. The floor and the cap, the number and the number, and then there's a bunch of teams that were either below that or above that. Now, again, where the median is about 16, is there's $167 million when it comes to Seattle Mariners. Above that is when you get into the 180s. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 teams that would have been below that floor number. And if you're wondering, yes, the Kansas City Royals would have been on that list at 148 million. And then, you know, obviously you have your top tier teams like the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees and also the Philadelphia Phillies, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Atlanta Braves, the Chicago Cubs, all be above that line of the ceiling. So I don't know if this is where they're going to start, but this still looks messy to me, is that they're going to be a long way away from even trying to get this thing settled.
I think you said it to me the other day. How do you start negotiating with people who refuse to even listen on something like this? And that's sure. kind of where I have been with the baseball players this entire time. I don't think the baseball players are going to listen. I think they're that dug into not having a salary cap. And I think the owners are going to look at it and go, well, I'll tell you, you're going to have a salary cap. And I think that's kind of where we're headed. It's going to get long. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get nasty, as we talked about. But I kind of like this 171.2. They looked at it, Major League Baseball owners did, and they went to half the league. You know, let's find a number where we can make a lot of teams spend more money. And the salary cap at like 242 or whatever they said it was, or 282, whatever the number was, 242. It's going to force teams, about six teams, to have to reduce their spending, but it's also going to force 15 teams to have to increase their spending. And so even if you have to decrease your spending for some of these teams, they're still going to be spending a lot of money. And so I really do think this is a good initial offer by the owners to the Players Association. But to your point, the players are going to put both fingers in their ears and they're not going to listen. So how do you have a negotiation and a conversation when one side is refusing to even listen to the other side on situations like this?
Yeah, I go back to the Southwest theory of, like, now you know, what do they say? Bags fly free, right? That was like their thing. And then you can go back and even last year when they, you know, implemented commercials in Red Zone. It was 30 seconds twice in 7 hours. But you put something into something that was never there.
Right.
You're never going to get a lot of positive feedback. Now, baseball has done this with rule changes, and it's worked. But this is money changes, and the players aren't necessarily as affected when it comes to a pitch clock or ghost runner. I know that they are, you know, a little bit affected because now it's, you know, the pitchers have a certain time, batters have to be in the batter's box, but it really wasn't that dramatic.
Right.
This is dramatic. This is something where they've never had a cap. They've never had a floor. And some of these guys are either almost out the door. You look at guys like Bryce Harper, who's completely pissed about all of this. He doesn't want anything to do with this.
Right.
You look at all these veterans that are in there. They're like, why would we do this? Like, you're going to now take money from me. But that's the problem when it comes to big dollars and big corporations, is that they don't look at the long process.
No, they never do.
They look at the now and how it affects me right now. And I think that's the problem. We don't have equal minds on this. You might have people that are 18 years old that are getting ready to be drafted in the first round of Major League Baseball, and they're probably into this. But the thing is that this league right now is ran by people that are completely grandfathered in, as they should be. Bryce Harper is now, what, 34?
And those contracts 33? Are going to be grandfathered in. That's the thing. Like, I was talking to somebody yesterday about that, and they're like, yeah, the kind of the conversation is, if you have a contract, it's grandfathered in, and so the Dodgers are still going to have that opportunity to be the Dodgers. And what the players don't realize, though, Dusty, is they're looking at it from the wrong angle, in my opinion, on this one. And look, I don't think there needs to be a salary cap in baseball. I do think there needs to be a salary floor, and if we're not going to have a floor, we don't need to have a cap. But I do think the players need to have to look at it from the other way and realize it's going to force teams to have to go out there and spend at 171.2 million for the floor. I mean, you had the Marlins last year spending in the 70s, you know, on their entire payroll. So those teams are going to start spending more. Like, you look at St. Louis, they spent $95 million on their payroll this year, right? So what does that say? They're going to have to increase that payroll 41 plus another five, almost $50 million for that. That's going to the players. And so there are a lot of teams out there that are going to have to increase what they're spending. And that's a good thing. I mean, the Miami Marlins and the Cleveland Indians from this year are essentially going to have to double their payrolls to reach this 171.4, whatever it is, floor. That's a good thing for the players, but yet they look at it from the top thing and they go, they're putting a cap on what they're making. Yes and no, they're also raising the floor of what you guys are making right now and forcing these teams to spend more money. And for whatever reason, that gets lost in translation with the players.
It's going to take some time, and it's going to take some patient minds to get this thing figured out, because we want to have baseball in 2027. You're in a renaissance, man. You're playing at Field of Dreams. You're moving the game along. It's got the youth again. It's got the boomers are still there. The middle ages are still there, so don't screw it up. By the way, from the 217, Bob, you can no longer predict the Chiefs win is 35-0. It's now 30 Daniels to nothing as they continue to keep cooking in there. So there you go. Just drove by Kauffman Stadium. George Brett's number is still there. P.S. Don't tell Jaden. Coming up, we play bingo plus preseason football game number one, what we watch for here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Kyra Stonga, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
I'll tell you, my